Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Garage Talk Live. And it's Tuesday, June 2nd. Wow, summer's getting closer by the day, even though it feels like it's summery out there already. Last weekend, Memorial Day weekend, was the 600-mile race at Charlotte. Then they moved to the 1.5-mile track at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. This weekend, they went to the 1-mile high bank oval known as the Monster Mile in Dover, Delaware. It all started the 3-day weekend as far as racing goes. All three series were in action. And relatively close by was the ARCA series in Millville, New Jersey, which is actually Memorial Day weekend for the ARCA 150. And saw a nice article on ARCA driver Sarah Cornett Ching, who was on the show a couple times. And this being she finished the ninth place at the road, on the road course in New Jersey, the New Jersey Motorsport. When I used to live there, we were fighting to get built, and it finally did. They run the NASCAR runs the Grand Am series down there as well. Nice little place. You ought to check it out if you're looking for a nice road course to go see. But anyway, she's seventh in the points, and she's looking to finish higher than my friend Shauna Robinson, who has the highest finishing woman in the ARCA series with a sixth place in the standings at the end of the season. So we're going to keep an eye on Sarah to see how she does. Maybe I'll get them both on the air together and so one can meet the other if they haven't already at near them. I know Shona's been tied up with their treatments and all, so let me see if I can work that magic. But anyway, of course, a lot of racing in the New Jersey area. Like I said, Millville, New Jersey Motorsports Park on Memorial Day, Dover, NASCAR's weekend at the Monster Mile. And this coming weekend, we have NHRA going to Raceway Park in Englishtown, New Jersey, which is a little further north than where I used to live. And then, of course, NASCAR itself, the Sprint Cup Series, will be out at Pocono, catching up with the ARCA Series. So that's why I had the ARCA tie in. So ARCA's going from the road to a 2.5-mile triangle. NASCAR is going from a 1 mile over to a 2.5 mile triangle. So it should be a pretty interesting weekend. And, you know, I'll see if we can book Sarah on for after her Pocono run. I'd like to keep tabs on her for a couple times. But every time she seems to call in, she seems to do better. But she went from only running 10 races a year this year to running the whole season. So things have come together. And she went from finishing in 20 to now she's in the top 10. So that team's improving. So we'll cover that next week. As a matter of fact, they are ready to the Pocono. It'll be a 1 o'clock start, Eastern Daylight Time. And I don't think that's a TV race. Race TV. Check that out. Fox Sports 2. Check your local listings for that one. I know Fox Sports 1 on DirecTV is what I have at 219, so Fox Sports 2. It'll be the Pocono 200 miles around the tricky triangle. Turns, none highly banked, three distinct straightaways, different lengths and widths. If anybody's been there knows that front straightaway looks like a runway. It's a darn long and it's a darn wide. You cannot lose a lap on pit road there. Well, go on that and when we make our picks. But Friday night was the truck series at the Monster Mile. They come in town in June. In October, it'll be the K&N East series. We'll wrap up their season at Dover. So trucks get the early race. K&N gets the late race. That's usually where the championship's crowned at Dover. So for the K&N East series. And our guest a couple weeks ago got his championship there last year, Ben Rhodes. And I think this year he graduated high school and he's learning his way after making his debut at Iowa Speedway. He was on the show. So we'll keep an eye on him, but when he starts running the full season, then we'll be able to take a closer look. Of course, the race at Dover was the Lucas Oil 200 for the truck series. So it was 200 laps, 200 miles. They run the same distance the Xfinity series does. Usually the Xfinity series runs half the distance, the Cup series, and then the truck series runs sometimes even or a little less than that, depending on the location and the amount of time they have. Time of the race took an hour and 56 minutes. Average speed was 102 miles an hour. Average margin of victory was 1.25 seconds, so there was a fairly decent gap. There were 15 lead changes amongst 8 drivers, and there were 8 cautions for 41 laps. The winner was Tyler Reddick. He drives for BKR, which is Brad Keselowski Racing, beat holding off the Gibbs boys, Daniel Suarez and Eric Jones. Fourth was Dan Hemric. Fifth was Matt Crafton. Ben Kennedy was sixth. Ryan Blaney was seventh. That's Tyler's teammate. Brandon Jones was ninth. Brandon Jones was eighth. Johnny Sauter was ninth. Tyler Young was in the top ten. Spencer Gallagher, who's a rookie in the Truck Series this year, has a run for Rookie of the Year. He's one to watch. He's doing fairly decent. Little incident Friday when with Tyler Reddick, the eventual winner, and Jennifer Jo Cobb. Of course, NASCAR fans climbing out of your vehicle after a wreck and then going onto the track to yell at somebody, but Jennifer Jo did that and may be penalized for that. I'll have to see if there's anything in the email box to note that, but she thought he bumped her from behind, and the replays didn't show anything that you could decide whether she got loose and lost air or he gave her a tap. It was going into the turn, so let's say the back ends are lighting up as you're going in with all the load coming in because of the you're coming in far from 90 degrees of banking into 24 degrees of banking, so it takes a lot of load off the back end of the truck. So that was able to, she wound up spinning and crashing into the inside wall. Pole sitter was Ryan Blaney, but he wound up seventh. It wasn't a good day for pole sitters, but as far as the points go, then holding on to the points lead over Tyler Reddick, who is 11 points back. Erik Jones, he's in third. He's 14 back. So you got a tight race at the top of the Truck Series standings. Fourth is Johnny Sauter. He's 40 back. John Westtownlee is fifth. He's 71 back. And Timothy Peters, he's sixth at 74 back. So, seventh is Cameron Haley. He's 80 back. Tied with Spencer Gallagher for that seventh spot. So, and then ninth is Daniel Hemric. Tenth, Ray Black Jr., 89 back. 15th is, believe it or not, Jennifer Jo Cobb. She's 131 back as a leader. That's, I think that's highest finish that she has, points average finish. I think she finished 16th of the points a couple of years ago when she had her best year. So good to see her in the higher end of the points. But she finished dead last yesterday, so that wasn't a good thing. The biggest lap leader yesterday was Cole Custer in the 00. He led 67 laps out of the 200-lap event on Friday. So at least a Truck Series regular got the points, because actually I didn't see any Cup Series guys in the truck race. So you would think Kyle Busch would get out there and get some track time, being he's been banged up for a while and just got back in Charlotte like last week. So. And here's your Camping World Truck Series winner.
We've now been joined by our race-winning team in this afternoon's Lucas Oil 200 here at Dover in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. We've been joined by our race winner, driver of the number 9, BBR Music Group 4, Tyler, oh, 19, excuse me, the number 19, BBR Music Group 4, Tyler Reddick, his race-winning crew chief, Doug Randolph, and his team owner, Brad Keselowski. And Tyler, we'll start with you. An exciting win to kick off the season in Daytona earlier this year. Dover, a totally different racetrack, a totally different race. So to come back here and take home the victory, just talk a little bit about what that means, but also it shows the strength of the team as well.
We knew getting one win, you know, is the first step, and the only thing we want more than one win is two wins. And you know, we worked really hard Thursday to better our truck, and overnight we put together a better package for Friday, and it was just all around better, and it was really solid. I knew we had a top five truck starting the race, and we just ended up being in position to put our Brad Keselowski Racing Ford F-150 in victory lane, and it was great to get Rocambo Records another victory this year. And draw tight, and Cooper Standard as well. So it's great to get a win for everybody back home, and you know, it's a good way to get the season going for us.
And Doug, from your viewpoint this afternoon, talk a little bit about the race, how it played out, and ultimately coming home the winners.
Well, first of all, it was definitely a full, not just team, but organization effort. We weren't as good as we thought we should be in practice, and our teammate was really good, and we leaned on them a little bit overnight. And that helped us a lot. And, you know, as an organization, I think we've run 6 races this year and won 3. So we've stepped up our game. So I feel like we're doing really good there. And then it was a crazy race today. You know, there were so many cautions, so many different pit strategies. Obviously, track position was important. And halfway, I guess, we made a decision to try to get some track position, you know, and hope the race played out a certain way, and luckily for us, it did. It could have easily gone a different way, but at that time, that was the decision we made.
And Brad, as a team owner, it's always nice to come home the winners and get to visit Victory Lane. Talk a little bit about just the win this afternoon, but also Tyler and what he's brought to the team as well.
Yeah, certainly, you know, a great day, but for us, kind of a landmark day in the sense that, you know, 3 wins in a season is the most we've ever had, and I think we're right at a little past a third of the way through the season. You know, we've got a lot to be proud of, and we've got our focus you know, I'm winning a championship. And, you know, Tyler ran a partial season last year and now a full season this year. So this is, you know, still his first full season. So it's nice to see that come together the way it has. And, you know, it's going to be an exciting finish from here for the championship. There's a lot of racing left to do.
There you have the winning team of Tyler Reddick, Doug Randolph, the crew chief, and Brad Keselowski. So, pretty good weekend for that team. And, of course, if anybody had anybody different in the race, I usually don't pick the Truck Series or the Nationwide Series races. I stick to the Cup Series race. We'll get to that in a minute. And Xfinity Series on Saturday, it was Chris Buescher's turn. Of course, him and teammate Darrell Wallace started on the front row. Darrell Wallace winning the pole. But it was Chris Buescher to take the win. And he led the last 10 laps for the victory, and that's the important time to lead. And it's the only time he led. The time of the race was 1:43:39. Average speed, 115 miles an hour. Margin of victory, 11.477 seconds. That's a good straightaway length at the Monster Mile. Anybody that's ever been there knows the race. It's a race where it can go either way. This time was only 7 lead changes amongst 5 drivers. There were 4 cautions for 23 laps. That was a pretty clean race when you look at it, especially at a track like Dover where anything could happen. I mean, 2 accidents. One of the cautions was for debris, so makes you wonder if that was questionable. Then one for a spin. He had a 3-car accident in turn 1 on lap 65, and then at halfway was the last caution at lap 101. So the 39 and the 44 getting into an accident. And you figure they went green at lap 105 and ran out the last 95 laps caution free. Something tough to do. Your lap leaders were Eric Jones, led twice for 70. Darrell Wallace, the pole sitter, led 3 times for 52. Matt Kenseth, once for 51. He had a good run. He usually runs decent at Dover in the Xfinity car and the Cup car. He's got a win there, too, I think. I've been there for both of them. Austin Dillon was once for 17 laps. Are your only 2 Cup guys that were that led anything? And then Chris Buescher, of course, once for the last 10 to take the win and win convincingly. He's a pretty big wide margin. So Buescher led Buescher with the victory. Kenseth was behind him. Reagan Smith took 3rd, Austin Dillon 4th, Casey Kane 5th in the 88 car. I guess they parked to the 5. They're going to run the 88 instead. Ben Rhodes was in that car in his Iowa debut. Defending champ Chase Elliott was 6th. Brendan Gaughan was 7th. 8th, Ty Dillon. 9th, Eric Jones. 10th, Jeremy Clements. Pole sitter Darrell Wallace finished 17th, so he started out well, but had some problems, finished 3 laps down. There were only cars on the lead lap in that race, which is kind of strange. I mean, when that's the problem with long green flag runs. One, you don't get the lucky dog guys. There were only 3 of those. and saying they even stayed on the lead lap. Usually they don't anyway, because. But five cars on the lead lap. We had four only one lap down, and then the rest were multiple laps down. So. It's not something you want to encounter at Dover, because you can go the laps down in a hurry there. I mean, I was watching during the Cup race. If you got a pit road penalty and you had to come back in under green, you went two laps down if you were on the lead lap. So here's our winning team from. The Xfinity race, Chris Buescher, crew chief Scott Graves, and car owner Jack Rouse. I think Jack started that. It used to just be the winners, and the owners would just show up and split them. And then
we will continue with our post-race press conference. We've now been joined by our race winner, driver of the number 60 Rouse Performance Ford, Chris Buescher, race reading crew chief Scott Graves, and our race-winning owner, Jack Roush. And Chris, we'll start with you. Second win in three races, which is not a bad way to be at this point in the season. Talk a little bit about those last few laps. You knew you had to save fuel, and you were able to make it to the end, but did you really think you would be able to pull that off?
Honestly, I never know what to believe when it comes down to the end of these races. I know Scott tells me, oh, we're just a couple short, and then you just you never know how much we really need to save. But we saved quite a bit there at the end. And that whole run, really, we were really just trying to be easy on the throttle, and then towards the end of the run, we started having to clutch it and really just let it coast at least half of the straightaway, almost three quarters of it, which is really tough to do. I just felt like we were going so slow, and it's hard to convince yourself to do it, but. We made it to the end. Had just a little bit left to do the burnout there, and we got ourselves another win this year.
And Scott, from your viewpoint, talk about those final laps, and then what it felt like from the pit box.
Nerve wracking for sure. You know you're close, and don't know exactly how much is being saved, but I knew by lap times and then what he was doing that we were going to be okay, especially once everybody else had come in and pit. We basically had a lap to play with at that point, so. Basically there the last 10, I guess five laps, he was doing everything he could. Once we got down to that point, I was feeling better about it, but nerve-wracking, sure.
And Jack, we're 12 NASCAR Xfinity Series races into the season, and Roush Fenway has three of those wins. Talk a little bit about just the season overall and really the strong performance of both, not only Chris, but Ryan Reed's team and also Darrell Wallace's team as well. And
race is pretty cool. Looking forward to getting back to it. It's a neat program, and obviously a lot of money up for grabs for not only drivers but for some fans, lucky fans as well. So it's pretty neat. We're just an added bonus on.
And there you have it. There'll be a little technical difficulty right there. So, but somehow we got taken down offline. But anyway, there you have. Chris Buescher, Jack Rouse, and Scott Graves giving some comments on the win, saving the fuel mileage and all that. If you didn't get a chance to hear that, I'm sorry. I said we had some technical difficulty, but I think we got the bugs worked out and we're back up on the air or online, I should say. Anyway. In the Cup Series race, I picked him last week. I said he owns the track. I saw good runs by Martin Truex Jr., Denny Hamlin, Kevin Harvick, Brad Keselowski. I saw run real good there at Dover. And all past winners there at Dover. So, even Kyle Busch led a few laps. But when all was said and done, the guy that took home the Miles Trophy Jimmy Johnson. I can never, ever, at least the first race at Dover. He's got two season sweeps, so that's four of his 10 wins there. That's right. This made his 10th win at the Monster Mile. It's the most ever at the track, and he joins a list of others like Dale Earnhardt, who's won 10 races at various tracks, including Talladega. He joins the list of drivers, including Richard Petty, Dale Earnhardt Sr., not Jr., Darrell Waltrip, and David Pearson are the only other drivers that have 10 or more wins at a single track. So that's pretty good. Then you figure Jimmy Johnson. He's only 39 years old, so 74th victory and 484 Sprint Cup Race Series starts. His fourth victory and ninth top 10 this year, so he's on a path to retain his championship crown, and that would give him, if he gets it again this year, that'll tie him with Petty and Earnhardt with seven. Okay, it's his 10th victory, and it's his 20th top 10 finish in 20 races at Dover. So, what's that tell you? Harvick finished second. And there's another second-place finish for Harvick. This guy has been second or first out of most of the races this year. I think there's three. So if this was his 13th top 10 at Dover, and it's his 12th top 10 this year, so eight or nine of those have been first or second. He's got most of them seconds because he's got, I think, only two wins. I'll know when I check the points. But Johnson has four, so he's your points leader as far as wins goes in the seeding. It puts him... Harvick has two wins. So that puts the rest of Harvick's top 10 in second place, which ain't too shabby, but you get a lot of points, especially if you lead a lap or lead the most laps and still finish second. There were nine leaders. 15 lead changes amongst line, 9 leaders and 7 cautions for 40 laps. But except in the Xfinity race, most of the cautions were at the end of the race, which kind of changed things around, especially pit strategies and all for Jimmy Johnson, who managed to take the lead on one of the late cautions and then had to survive two restarts, including the green-white checker to take the win. So this was also the first race with the longest green flag run this year. Not at Dover, but this year. And it lasted 75 laps. That's when the yellow came out on lap 75. So you had a 75-lap green flag run at the beginning of the race before the first caution. And usually at Dover, you have a long green flag stretch anyway, which happened from, I guess you had a 100-lap stretch from lap 267 to lap 377, where they went green all the way through, and then on lap 377, all hell broke loose. You had Kyle Busch and the 33 car get into it, and that caused the wreck. I'm trying to see who was in the 33 car yesterday. Brian Scott. He managed to, I guess, he was running high up on the wall. Kyle Busch was coming up, and they got together and took each other out. Trevor Baines and Justin Allgaier and Michael Annette got into a wreck. That was your second accident caution there, and that happened on lap 387. That's where they came into the green-white checker situation, and of course, actually, on the 400th lap, on lap 399, it was after Jimmy Johnson took the white flag that the last caution came out, but that was the 13, the 16, and the 47 car. Just Allmendinger, Biffle, and Casey Mears. But that was only for a matter of record. It didn't have to. It didn't happen per se when you have the heat of competition. So as your points right now go, and here's the tricky part, because I have it listed at points. See if I can find a Chase rundown. But here, Harvick leads the points. He's got 500. The championship point standings were held right now. The Harvick, Jimmy Johnson, this is the order of the top 16. Joey Logano, Dale Jr., Brad Keselowski, 6th, Jamie McMurray, 7th, 8th, Casey Kane, 9th, Jeff Gordon, 10th, Eric Amarola, Matt Kenseth in 11th, Paul Menard in 12th, Newman 13th, 14th, Denny Hamlin, and 15th, Kurt Busch. Kurt Busch has to stay above the 30th spot with that win to make the chase. That's one of the rules. You have to be in the top 30 in points, and that shouldn't be a problem, and have a win to make the top 16 because of the seeding. So that's how that is. Now, if you had to go by wins, it's Jimmy Johnson. He'd be leading. Harvick would be second. And if you go by wins, Brad Keselowski, and in order, according to the wins, would be Joey Logano, Dale Jr., and Brad Keselowski. Matt Kenseth, Denny Hamlin, Kurt Busch, and Carl Edwards. And then your guys with no wins and have to come in on points. And that would be Truex would be first on that list. Jamie McMurray, Casey Kane, Jeff Gordon, Eric Amarola, Paul Menard, and Ryan Newman. So basically a lot of the same people as you had last year, except this year Kenseth has his win, Edwards has a win. So you win and you're in, and after that it's points. So here's your race winner, Chad Knaus. Of course, Rick Hendrick couldn't be there, but he called Jimmy Johnson as he was pulling into victory lane. So Jimmy Johnson knows his way around Dover, and here's what he had to say.
Good afternoon. We're going to continue with our post-race media availability for this afternoon's FedEx 400 Benefiting Autism Speak. And we've now been joined by our race winner, driver of the number 48 Lowe's Pro Services Chevrolet. And Jimmy, an incredible accomplishment this afternoon. Your 10th victory here at Dover. You become one of five drivers who's been able to accomplish that at a particular track, joining the ranks of Richard Petty, Darrell Waltrip, Dale Earnhardt, and David Pearson. And you're also one, just one lap shy of leading 3,000 laps here at Dover. So an incredible day for the 48 team. Just talk a little bit about the race and being able to come home with your 10th victory.
It's just a tough race today. We went from 14th to 5th in pretty quick order. And then just the top five cars were so equal that it was just, you couldn't pass. You know, you really just could not get by somebody. They made a bobbler mistake, you could close up, but then the next set of corners, and they would, get back to the bottom and run a line and kind of hold you up, and you couldn't go anywhere. So I really felt like it was going to be a game of inches today. And as the race progressed, my team did a great job on pit road and got me a couple spots. And then I'd lose them on a restart, being pinned down on the inside. And I felt bad for my guys that I couldn't do anything with their awesome pit stops. But when it came to green flag stops, they once again nailed the stops and were able to leapfrog some guys on the racetrack. And then that really set up our race at the end. And I was able to finally get to the four with 25 to go, get kind of close to them. That first caution came out. And then really I'm just telling myself inside the car that you're locked in. This is an all or nothing situation. You need clean air. Do anything you can on the restart to get the lead. Be as aggressive as possible. And I was able to get the lead and get control. And then with control of the restarts and having lane selection, that was also a huge advantage for those last two restarts that we had. So it all came together for us very late in the race. But once we had our opportunity, we took advantage of it and got our 10th win here.
And we've now also been joined by our race winning crew chief, Chad Knaus. And Chad, 10 wins here at Dover for the 48 team, a tremendous accomplishment. Talk a little bit about, you know, the call of the race today, but also what it means to the team to be able to win the 10th victory this afternoon.
It was, it was so great to be able to come here this weekend and compete for that. I didn't realize that we were going for 10 wins until we showed up here. I don't remember anybody even saying anything about it last year in the fall. So it was kind of a shock to me. I didn't touch on that. So to be able to go out there today with the Lowe's Pro Services Chevrolet and run the way that we did was really great. We didn't qualify quite as well as what we wanted to, but Jimmy made quick work to get up to the top five, and it just seemed like we were running the top five. Fifth all race long for about 75% of the event. We just couldn't seem to get anywhere. He put together, much like you said, a couple of really fast laps, gain on somebody, and then you would lose the air, and we would gain a couple on pit road, and we'd lose them on a restart, and we just couldn't get it. It was just tip or tat all day. And finally, we started to put it together and get a couple here and a couple there. And once Jimmy got into a position where he could battle with the guys for the lead, he did a very, very good job and made quick work of those guys. I could have been prouder. He did a fantastic job on the restarts. He got out there, managed what he needed to do, got the gaps where he needed to, and it was pretty awesome.
There you have Jimmy Johnson, Chad Knaus. And the thing of it is, too, everybody talks about them fighting amongst each other, like, yelling back and forth. But, you know, they're pretty much like brothers. Brothers fight. If you have brothers, you know what I'm talking about. Everything comes together at Dover. It wasn't the best day, but it turned out to be the best day when it came to the end of the race and the results you want. Of course, the race took 3 hours and 23 minutes and 16 seconds. Average speed, 119.5 miles an hour. And that's the closest race of the weekend, 0.0436. How Jimmy Johnson had to stay to hold off Kevin Harvick and Kyle Larson, who came in third. It was a funny, the way the last restart went. It was Jimmy Johnson and Casey Kane on the front row, and with Harvick and Larson around them. Johnson got the jump, and I guess took Harvick with him, and then Larson got by Kane. Kane kind of shut the door on forget who it was, but they weren't too happy with him after and gave him a tap. Truex, who was pretty much out front for 131 laps up until the end of that race. So Johnson and Harvick chose to stay out on the last stop, and they had old tires, so that was the key. Then a couple of guys took two tires, and then everybody else took four. But it's rare when somebody who doesn't take on tires, they need to say fuel because they stayed out. So that's something else they had to watch, because after the first green-white checker, then it was going to start to get iffy off for them. But Johnson, with his 10th victory there, Harvick, another second. Kyle Larson, a good run for him, taking home the third spot. Casey Kane, fourth. Eric Almirola in the top five. He's running fairly good in that 43 car. He's having some decent finishes. Doesn't have a win yet, but he did get one last year and might sneak one in this year. Martin Truex has been running a whole hell of a lot better this year, and it's kind of surprising seeing him in a single car team be able to do so good. But they're getting something together, so you can look for him to take a win eventually. I was watching the Facebook pages, and seeing who was picking who to win there, and Truex's name came up. Of course, I had to disagree. It's Dover. You got to go with Jimmy. But Truex, who started outside the front row, wound up sixth. Jamie McMurray came home seventh. Paul Menard eighth. Ninth, Clint Bowyer. Tenth was Jeff Gordon. So there was your top 10. Joey Logano in 11th was the final car that finished on the lead lap. So there were 11 cars on the lead lap at the end of the race, which is double what they had in the Xfinity race. Then again, a fairly clean race until the end, and that caused a lot of cars to go a lap down. So there you have our weekend wrap-up. If you want to sneak in a call, number 646-649-1899. Now, going into the Summer Nationals, the Mellow Yellow NHR standings at Englishtown, that's June the 4th, that's this Thursday. You need to get your tickets at racewaypark.com. So as we cruise down through the series, Antron Brown is the top fuel points leader, followed by Tony Schumacher. Now, you were looking at the top 10 that have to stay in position to carry over for the championship run. So it's Brown, Schumacher, Richie Crampton, Spencer Massey, Doug Kulitta, Larry Dixon, Sean Langdon, Clay Milliken, and Steve Torrence. That's a lot of former champs in the running there. You figure Brown's won it, Schumacher's won it, Dixon's won it, Langdon's won it. And Spencer Massey, I think he's won it once, so Kulitta. And your bottom 15, Brittany Force, Leah Pritchett, Dave Connolly, Terry McMillan, and Troy Buff. Funny car, Ronnie Capps leads the points. Try to hold off Matt Hagan, who's only five back. Jack Beckman, Fast Jack, in third. Del Worsham, fourth. Fifth, John Force, Rob Height, sixth. Seventh, Tommy Johnson Jr. Eighth, Grissom. Ninth, Alexis DeGioia, tied with her, rounding out the top 10 with 385 points as the cruiser, Cruz Pedregon. And 11 through 15, that outside looking in, I guess we'll have to give it to Courtney Force, whose 388 points puts her 7 behind the championship. Cruz Pedregon for that last championship spot. But that can change this coming weekend. And goes after that. With her victory last week at Topeka, Erica Enders reclaims a top spot. This time, 58 points ahead of Jason Lyon. Her points lead wasn't as big, but this time she ran everything. She had low ETs, number one throughout the weekend qualifying, so got whatever bonus points for that, and it was low ET from every elimination round. They get 80, the max 80 points for that, so that puts her, and then Jason Lyon went out a bit earlier, too, so it wasn't like he was chasing her to the finals. So Erica, Jason Lyon, Greg Anderson, Chris McGahey, 4th, Roger Brogdon, 5th, Larry Morgan, Drew Skillman, Vince Nobile, Shane Gray, and Alan Johnson. And 14 back of Alan Johnson and Jonathan Gray in 11th, so that's doable. Actually, any of them is doable. Somebody has to have real good problems in the Mellow Yellow series. Coming up this weekend, so that'll be this weekend in Englishtown. You can still get tickets, and every ticket include is a pit pass, so you can go up there, see your driver, whoever you like. And get autographs, because usually they're out there between runs, and you can catch them. And if you're there, you go to Erica Enders' pit. Say hi to Vince from Garage Talk Live. Says hi. She does the show. She's on the show a good bit. We love having her on. And she's good people, and it's good to see her up again defending the title. So hopefully this year she could run every event instead of taking 2 off before the countdown, because once she's locked in, you know, so things happen, and she had to pull out 2 races. Now, of course, NASCAR heading to the Tricky Triangle this weekend. It's going to be interesting, because last year, Dale Jr. got his first win there. And actually swept both races, which is something he's never done. Of course, the races at Pocono, you have one this weekend, and then 2 months later, you'll have the next one in August, the beginning of August. It used to be Dover, Pocono, Michigan, Sonoma, Pocono, and then Indy, but then they swapped Indy and Pocono because of ESPN at the time wanted to kick off their broadcast season with a big race, so they swapped it out, which is understandable. The Brickyard 400 is probably the second premier race in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, next to the Daytona 500. So it's just one of those things we'll have to look at. Of course, you can't count out second place Harvick or any of the Penske boys, Keselowski and Logano, both have finished up there last year. Harvick and Kurt Busch, two of the hot runners this year, finishing the top last year. Harvick finished second in the second race, and Kurt Busch finished third in this race, so watch for them. So I'd like to think that think of who I'm gonna pick for one. If you have any picks, you can go to our Facebook page and hit the like button if you haven't, or there, I'm going to post it right after the show or once I do it. But who I want to pick, let's see, who's been running good and who has a knack for Pocono. Now, Pocono can come to a fuel mileage race. It used to be 500 miles. They shortened it, so we'll just have to wait and see. What transpires there, so. But anyway, if I look down at it, if you want to make a call quick and give me a pick, it's 646-649-1899. But, and another one you got to keep an eye on is Jeff Gordon. Do you think Jeff Gordon get his first win there? Where did he finish? Top 10 both races. You know what? We'll have to go with, you know what? I'm going to go with Jeffy. I think maybe Jeffy will get his first win this this weekend at Pocono. I don't like to pick somebody that's won both races, so... this way, because I don't think they can carry it over to a third now. The only one who I will pick every year at a certain race would be Johnson at Dover. I usually pick him for both races. But that's, for some reason, just one of them strange things. Anyway, it's about all the time we have. So we're going to go with Jeffy Gordon. Tune in next week. We might have a few guests lined up. Hope to have a few guests, a guest or two lined up, so you don't have to hear me babble for an hour. And we'll wrap up Pocono. So, and Englishtown, which should be interesting stuff. Oh, and the Indy. IndyCar series had their duel in Detroit at Belle Isle, so had two different winners there. Sebastian Bourdais won the second race, first race winner. So we're going to kind of give it, imagine, there we go, Munoz. Carlos Munoz took the first one. So, there's your IndyCar winners. I don't know. I'm going to have the dual races on a road course and a double feature on the weekend. I guess instead of having a lead-up race, they have a what they call a doubleheader, but instead of running it there. So anyway, just want to let y'all know. Hope you enjoyed today's show. We'll see you all next week. Good day. Good racing. I'm Vince. See y'all. Bye.